Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And today I've got a beautiful guest, Claire, who is a certified life mastery consultant, a natural health coach, a spiritual growth mentor, and host of another incredible podcast called The Grace Space. Highly recommend it. Go and check it out. She helps people reclaim sovereignty over their health and lives and remembering what is real, simple, and organic. And with a background of 25 years as a professional actor, that sounds exciting, decades of teaching and coaching, Claire now focuses on helping people awaken their true capacities by returning to what is real and essential so that they can live and learn in freedom. Certainly love that. And her work reimagines education as a path of remembrance, drawing out from within rather than imposing from without. Welcome, beautiful Claire.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely to hear you, and I can't wait to have a chat with you today and learn, because it's always really interesting to hear everybody's stories and their perspectives. So my first question for you today is, all of these amazing things that you're doing right now, in your experience through your life, did education prepare you for all of the roles that you're doing today?
What a great question.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, here's what I can say. I would say that I see life as the real education, right? The content of our life is the curriculum for our growth. Absolutely. But within that, the actual educational system, in retrospect, I look back and see it as more of an obstacle than an aid. Having said that, you know, I did have some wonderful teachers growing up, and those are the people that I remember, you know, who shaped my thinking. The system itself, I think, hampers, but there are always wonderful people within the system who help you grow. Everything that I do now is the result of my self-directed learning, self-directed education that I took upon myself when I realized that I couldn't, first of all, remember anything that I had learned in school, really. Very, very little. And I'm wondering, like, what all those hours were spent doing, because I don't really remember anything. I took it upon myself once I realized that I wasn't really educated for real life to teach myself. And, you know, there's the intellectual side of that, the theoretical side of that, and then there's the practical side of it. You know, there's a lot of things that we need to know how to do that are not taught in school. You know, we're not taught anything about, I think some schools, there are definitely exceptions. There are amazing schools out there even now that have been formed that are teaching kids things like gardening, like how to grow food.
Yep.
Basic thing, right? And that's becoming more and more important, imperative, actually, that we learn, that we absolutely grow our own food so that it can be healthful food. And also because it reconnects us to the earth, you know, our relationship with the earth, with the rhythms, the seasons, the cycles. What really matters in life, you know, is that connection to all of life. And I rather feel that system, the system, the educational system tends to cut us off from that rather than encouraging it. So learning to grow food, learning to build a basic shelter, learning to find water, things that are basically survival, how to orient yourself without a phone,
What
how to
do you mean
feel.
life can be going on without a phone? Oh my gosh.
Well, we're probably of the last generations that remember what it was like to not to have a phone, and to just feel things, right? Feel through things. And that's another thing that I had to learn to do. I had to learn to feel. I had to learn to feel again.
How did you do
And
that?
The memories that I have of school, the first until I was about 13, I was in a French international school, the French schooling system within the United States, because I grew up in the States, but my father was French, and so they wanted us to speak both languages, and so we were sent to school, to French school in Washington, D.C., where I grew up for the first until I was about 13. And on the one hand, it was a rigorous education academically, and we did learn to speak French, and that was that's a skill that I'll always cherish, to be bilingual or nearly trilingual. That's the skill that I'll always cherish. At the same time, the school was very strict. There was a lot of strictness. It was a lot about doing, following the rules. And if you didn't follow the rules, you got in trouble. They used public humiliation. They would humiliate children by, for example, passing out the test results in the order of highest grade to lowest grade, so everybody would know who did well and who didn't, or in the opposite, direction. You had to stand up when a teacher came into the room and sit down with your hands clasped in a certain way, and if you didn't do that, then you were in trouble. So I remember, and it was only when I went back to that school after many years away, when I happened to be back in Washington, D.C. doing a show, I went back there on a day off just to see, what it was like now. And when I arrived on the campus, I felt my whole lower body clench and seize up. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is the state that my body was in when I was there. I was tight, I was tense, I was nervous, I was anxious. I didn't want to make a mistake, and I learned to be a perfectionist, and I learned to be rigid. I learned to shut out anything that didn't conform to what was expected of me. And in so doing, I shut out a great, huge portion of my being, of my childlike being, which means creativity, spontaneity, the ability to imagine and think big, and specifically the ability to feel. Because I remember specific moments in my schooling where I had to shove down the tears that were rising up, because of something a teacher had said, or, it's funny, it brings back emotion now as I'm remembering moments. I remember a specific moment where a teacher humiliated me. I was a straight A top student, because I didn't want to get in anybody's bad graces, but a teacher humiliated me for about 10 minutes in front of the class, because I hadn't done very well on a test, and I sat there and took it as she walked back and forth up and down the aisles and subjected me to this for a good 10 minutes. And then the bell rang and it was time for recess, and we had to all line up, get in a line, right, to exit the classroom to go out to recess. And I was standing in the line, and I couldn't stop the tears from rolling down my face. And the girl in front of me turned around and looked at me, and she said, "You're crying." And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm laughing." I'm laughing. And she turned back around and we went out to recess. So
Oh
it's like that, you know, they don't seem like a very big deal at the time, but they mark you for life and they create patterns, right? Patterns that you live by unconsciously, and then you have to undo that stuff later. So I became an actor. Surprise, surprise. I became an actor. And it was always very easy for me to connect with emotion as an actor. But as an actor, you're not you. It's still one removed. You know, you have to absolutely be there, be present, be experiencing the thing that you're experiencing, but you're still not you. You're observing. You have to have a not, you know, you have a witness consciousness that's like, don't walk into the furniture. Make sure that you're standing in your light, you know. Say what you say when you need to say it so that the play can continue, right? But you know, it's a very interesting study of presence, actually, to be an actor. And I was a theater actor principally. But so I think I learned to channel emotion, and specifically, I learned to channel a lot of dark emotion, dark energy. I played a lot of parts of, you know, evil queens and Shakespearean tragedy and things like that in my time as an actor. And I think it gave me permission to feel all of that dark stuff, to express it, you know, until I was strong enough to hold the space for my own emotional processing, which I learned to do over time. And then I begin to help other people do the same. And it's such a simple thing. It's so simple. Everything that's real and true is actually very simple. Nothing is complicated, but it takes courage.
I absolutely agree with you in that space. And so, do you imagine that it would be good? I mean, creativity seems to have just been literally sucked dry when it comes to many education spaces, and places. And it's not across the board, but in general, it sort of is. And drama and music and just the arts and that intuition that you're talking about seems to have just dissolved over the years. Do you feel that that's actually really important to have in
Oh,
learning
yeah.
spaces?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I
Music, drama, art, but also, you know, just unstructured time, you know, free time, connection with nature is absolutely essential. You know, I think it varies from place to place and school to school, what is available to kids nowadays. But it's also the quality of, you know, like music education. You know, are people, are kids receiving a full exposure to the history of music? You know, or are they being really only exposed to what's on Instagram and you know, the latest pop stars who are coming up? You know. That there's something to be said for a real experience of real instruments too, you know, like going to symphony and hearing real instruments played. This our existence has become so synthetic and so quickly that a lot of people don't even know what's real anymore. And I don't know the degree to which it's being perpetuated, that's being perpetuated in the educational system. But I think it's really imperative for all people, but young people especially, to be exposed to what is real, organic, and natural, rather than processed and synthetic, whether it come whether we're talking about food, or music, voice. You know, because a lot of the singers that these kids hear are auto-tuned, and they are in, you know, when music is produced, you know, they can alter the voices and make them sound perfect or whatever, when that's not the case. You know, a human voice is affected by so many things from moment to moment. I was a singer too, and you know, I went through a whole journey with my voice where, after the death of my father, when I was at Juilliard training to be an actor, I just had so much grief and so much pent up emotion that I couldn't I lost my ability to sing, and that cut off a large, you know, portion of what I, you know, auditions and opportunities that I might have had in my career for a long period of time until I started doing yoga and opened my heart again, and then my voice started coming back, and then I, you know, I started to sing again, you know, but it was after almost 20 years that that you know, period of absolute inability to express myself with my voice. And when the voice came back, it taught me that, wow, you know, the voice is the soul, you know, it is the voice of the soul. It's a unique expression. And it is affected by everything, by how we feel, by what we're thinking about, by the atmosphere, by how much sleep we got last night, by how open our heart is or not, you know. And until I learned to sing from the heart, I really wasn't singing at all. I was trying to sound like what was expected of me or who I thought I should sound like, you know. And when I surrendered to my own voice and let it be imperfect, that's when it really started to open up and take off, you know. So I think that's kind of a general, like, that's a truth that when we let ourselves be who we are, and I think this is the job of education, it ideally, and here's the thing, I remember a teacher saying this in school when I was a kid. They took it back to the root word, the Latin educare, which means to draw out from within.
That's right.
And I've always remembered that. I've always said that thank you to that teacher, right? Who said it's educare, the root of the word means to draw out from within, right? So it's not about imposition. It's not
That's
about imposing stuff on you. It's about revealing, you revealing to yourself what you already have within you, right? And that means the individual's gifts and talents, their perspective, their way of seeing things, their, you know, their uniqueness. And when you standardize education, then you're standardizing uniqueness. Well, that's, you can't do that. I mean, uniqueness is stamped out under standardization, and there's less and less room for natural expression.
Oh gosh, you are singing to the choir. I absolutely agree everything you're saying, because I'm just sitting here nodding my head in agreement with everything that you're talking about. And I do agree that it is drawing out, because every single child is a special little snowflake. Every little child has their own flavor and their own quirks and their own personality and their own resonance. And the voice is so important, because not all children get a voice in their home environment or their life. So to be able to express and have that expression is really important. And fun fact, when you sing, you stop thinking. You cannot think and sing. So you have to be from that heart space, because the brain and the mind turns off. And it brings so much joy. So I just love it, because it is just so much fun. And the creativity that you were talking about, I was actually picturing children outside designing chook sheds to have the chickens in the school grounds, and that can be creative. It doesn't have to be art and drama or anything specific, with a piece of paper and organized. It could be have a tinker shed and get different pieces, bits and pieces, and what can you build? What can you create in that space? It doesn't have to be, let's color in between the lines, people, and let's put it up in a coloring in competition. Do you know what I mean? Like that coloring in between the
Exactly.
lines, seriously. Let's just leave that. I think.
Well, and like you said, you know, I mean, first of all, I love the idea of having chickens at school. That would be amazing, right? But like, if you said to the kids, okay, we need to build a house for the chickens so that they can be safe, and we need to build it out of the materials that we can find here. What are we going to do, right? So you go, and you therefore activate the natural ingenuity that we have, in a collaborative experience, where the kids work together and then they feel great about what they created. You know, I mean, it's just creativity is always an option. You know, it we can
I
do
agree.
anything this way.
And if it becomes a bit lopsided and falls over, well then, there's their feedback. They need to reinforce
Well,
it.
then it's, how do we fix it? Yeah, how do we fix it? Well, you know, I mean, that brings to mind a memory of my first year at the French school when I was 7 years old. We had a day where we had to make soup. Now, I don't remember much else, but I remember that we made soup. And so, you know, everybody, all the kids had to bring us an ingredient from home, and we made a big pot of soup in class. That's the kind of thing that I don't think it should stop when you're when you're not a small child anymore. I mean, fun is also a huge part of learning, right? You'll
Absolutely.
remember something if you had fun doing it, right? And there are ways the ways that we learn things are, and the way that things stay imprinted in us are unfortunately either through trauma or through, you know, powerful, let's say powerful emotional experiences, either on the negative side or on the positive side, right? So instead of making school an environment that traumatizes kids, you know, we could make school an amazing, positive, beautiful experience for kids where they learn real skills, combined with, you know, the things that, yeah, we need to know the basics of math and we need to know how to read and we need to, you know, we also have to, there's another layer that we have to look at with education, you know, which is, well, who's determining what is being taught? And is it actually true? Is it actually relevant? Is it actually real? Because we were taught a version of history that I now deeply question. So, you know, you have to realize that the decisions about what's being taught in school are being made somewhere. Well, who's making those decisions? Who's determining what our children should be learning about?
That's a really good question. And I don't know if there's a, I mean, that's a, there's a long-winded answer to that because there's so many layers when you peel it back. Everyone answers to someone who answers to someone who answers to someone, but who's the person that's at the top or the undercurrent that's actually pulling the strings and the agendas of the narratives of what's coming through with our curriculums? The last 20, I've been teaching for over 30 years, and oh my giddy aunt, some of the things that we are looking at now, that it's been so dumbed down. It's incredible, but a lot of it, in my personal opinion, could be classed as propaganda. It's not necessarily scientific fact, and it just it's like, where is this information coming from? And I really don't know if all of the parents know what's going on in schools and in classrooms. And even some of the novel studies, there's so many amazing books and literature that's out there, and a lot of the stuff that's being presented to children today is dark, really dark. And it's like, why are we studying this? This is really quite concerning. It just hurts my heart to even be reading the work myself, let alone having to try and teach it and work your way around it. So, yeah, there's a lot to answer for, and I think there's a lot to question around why are we doing things the way we're doing it, and is this what we choose? And that's why I'm doing this podcast called All Learning Reimagined. What can we reimagine? How can things actually happen differently and organically? And what I've discovered, Claire, is there are so many amazing, beautiful people around the world, and places, and forest schools, and all these different things that are popping up, going back to nature and natural, practical, organic, and self-appointed, exploring, expressing, and play-based learning for all ages. It's really so wonderful to see that this is coming full circle. But on the flip side, then there's also this pathway is going very heavily down the technology path. So, that's a bit of a concern. Have you had any of it, seen any of it, evidence of that at all?
Well, I mean, I think that's the world. I think we're at a bifurcation. We have to choose whether we want to remain organic, natural humans, or whether we want to agree to be, or passively agree to be fused with technology. And you know, this is obviously a much larger discussion. We don't have time to go into now, but you know, I think if you start unpacking the layers of education, you arrive at global agendas, you know, and that the fact that things have been dumbed down so much, and that you know, our children are being taught to rote memorize and, you know, just go for the grade and standardized testing, all of that over a period of years. When I was growing up, that was being implemented, you know. It's to steer people, the future grown-ups, away from creative thinking, to turn them into passive, compliant robots who don't know how to think critically, who don't understand nuance, who can't have a conversation that is not about black and white, you know, and one side or another. You know, it's to create, to perpetuate this separation of right and left brain. When, so, you know, that is definitely a great, a larger agenda that's at play and that has infiltrated into the school systems. But that is not the only one. You know, it's in every domain of life we can see that we're being steered somewhere. And so really what it comes down to is waking up. We've got to wake up, see what's excuse me, see what's going on, see where we're being steered, and ask why. And we don't have a lot of time left, you know. I mean, this bifurcation is coming, and each person is going to have to, it needs to make a choice. Do I want to retain my faculties and what makes me human? Or am I going to allow myself to be subsumed by this pull towards convenience and technology, you know, in the name of convenience or in the name of making you superhuman? When the truth is, you're already superhuman. You, as a human, are superhuman. Your gifts are already within you, and they need to be just drawn out. That's it, you know. But if you're cut off from nature, if you're cut off from the Mother Earth, who you know, has nurtured us, if you're cut off from the elements, if you don't understand your place in the universe, which is a very big, you know, most people have no idea what they're doing here, who they are, where they came from, where they're going. Most people have no idea what our history, our real history, is. As human beings, how many humanities have lived on this planet? You know, they don't have a big picture because our attention is being parsed and parsed and parsed and reduced so that we can't pay attention to anything for very long. And we therefore, you know, live in a sort of eternal now of scrolling and the being hit with the next big thing, that's the next big news story, which is propaganda. You know, so that we have no sense of who we are and have no real sense of connection, inner connection to our truth, to our essence, and no real connection to other people, and no connection to the earth, right? So this is, I mean, that's pretty much it. We've got to make a choice now. Do you want to be a real human and live on this planet and be, or do you want to be subsumed into a technological singularity?
I agree. It's quite scary, and the distraction is just everywhere. It really is. Do you have like we have to wrap it up, unfortunately, because we're running out of time, but do you have a final piece of advice? I mean, I know you've got so much knowledge to share with your coaching and you know, drawing out from within. If there's one thing that you could suggest to people who are listening, what would that takeaway be that you would like to just leave with them?
You are a sovereign being. Sovereignty is the recognition and the embodiment of your inherent natural authority as a living, conscious expression of source. And to live sovereign means to live from the authority of your own soul. And anything that is taking you away from that, anything that's drawing you away from that, any mentality, any posture that puts you into the posture of being a slave, it is not recognizing the truth of who you are. You are not a slave. You are a sovereign, divine being. And the human is a full universal fractal of the source. That means you have all power within you. Sovereignty is the focus of my work. It's recognizing and returning and reclaiming our sovereignty. And, you know, I would love to live in a world where that is a pillar of our educational system, that's for sure. But I think that's my message, right? You are a sovereign being. And if you don't understand what that means, well, start to ask questions, start to feel who you are and connect with your own essence, because that's where we find our truth and our strength. And our ability to get through hard times, and we're definitely in hard times.
I absolutely agree. It's certainly a time for us to stop living by default and sit up and take notice of how and what and where and you know why we are doing what we are doing, for the sake of our children and ourselves, of course, and our family, and all the beautiful animals and plants and everything around us, you know, we're all connected. So I absolutely agree and hear you 100%. So Claire, I know you have a podcast, The Grace Space, and every week when I have a podcast, I usually write an article and then I can put some information in there for people to be able to tap in and find out more information if they're interested in and connecting with you. Are you comfortable with me to share that information?
I would love that. That'd be lovely. Thank you so much, Teresa.
That's beautiful. And did you want to tell everybody about your podcast, like what, when it is and where they
Yeah.
can
find it? Well, you can find it on all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find it on my website, which is clairelotier.com. I think Teresa will have that in the notes.
I will.
And the Grace Space is, yeah, the Grace Space is a combination of teaching, storytelling, interviews. I'm in season 5 of the podcast right now. And so if you love this kind of conversation, this is the kind of thing that I talk about in the Grace Space. And next season, plan to have a lot of guests, and Teresa will be one of them, where we go deeply into topics that are of paramount importance, really about the nature of reality, and questioning what we've been taught, questioning the narratives, and reclaiming our sovereignty. Yeah.
Love it, Claire. Love it. Thank you so much for coming on today. And for everybody else that's listening, thanks for joining us on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.